are again. At the end of the 36th IPSA Annual Conference, we have our past president, immediate past president, Colin Steen, and our new president, Scott Sanders, both with us. Of course, Todd and Catherine.
Yes.
It's been a long week.
It has been a long week. It's been good, though. It's been good. I say this about every conference, but, you know, it's never probably the truth for everybody else. I feel like this conference was one of the smoothest ones that we've done, at least from the back end. There was no major hiccups.
Oh, my gosh. And we're in the past, so yeah, we can say that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't, okay. Yeah. Well, you know what would be even better? Because we think we did great. It would be better to understand
if,
that.
If I told you you did great?
Yeah, it'd be better. Yeah, exactly. So let's hear an outside perspective.
Yeah, go ahead, guys.
I'll start. I think it was, I would agree. I have not been to 36 IPSA conferences, but I've been to four or five, and this one certainly felt to me like it was extremely well done. Back of house, front of house, everything really went smooth. I thought the speakers were as good as ever. It was just a really good 2 days, really, really well run. Like, I never felt like there was any moment where there was some panic in the streets and behind the scenes.
Really? Because, you know, in the business session, when you were trying to rush through, yeah. I thought I detected a bit of panic.
That, look, we've already put that in the past. That's forgotten.
For the record, I was not going to mention that at all.
I couldn't help myself.
Flush that one.
Right. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we can edit. We can pull that out.
No.
No, we won't. We can, but we won't. Scott, what do you think?
You know, I have a little bit to add to that. I've been to, I think this is my eighth one, and I came from a different world, and our conferences were so much like the ASTA conference, where it's just a speed blitz and it's speed dating, and you go there for your customer and it's a blur. It's not very intimate. And I said it, you know, talking to folks last night, largest conference ever from attendance standpoint, and it felt like the most intimate conference I've been to. Great speakers, great entertainment. I mean, last night for Carl and Jay to do the dueling pianos, and then of course they snuck my wife in there, which
made it
pretty cool. Thank you guys for that.
That's all Carl.
Yeah, that's all Carl.
You guys did a bang up job. It really was just a fantastic conference. I've heard nothing but positive comments.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's fun. You know, interesting. So of course, for those that don't know, Carl Peterson, Jay Asplin have been doing the dueling pianos really officially for us for the last 2 years, but unofficially it started at Tucson in kind of a late night alcohol induced thing. And here they are, they found the piano and they're rolling. And now, last night, no kidding, the hotel requested twice.
I heard that.
Their numbers to be able to hire them. Yeah.
And so maybe we can get Carl and Jay a residency. Carl will be down here January, February, March.
There we go. That'd work out really well for you at Peterson Farms.
Yeah.
Man.
I do have a question. Takeaways, but serious takeaways. Mentioned speakers. We had, we really had one of the better speaker lineups with Chris Voss from the FBI, former from the FBI, David Friedberg from Ohio Genetics, really compelling stuff that he brought forward. And J.J. Cummings, just to mention, you know, our three big blocks speakers. What's the takeaway you grab from each one of those?
Oh, boy. I think certainly with Chris, for me, it was that start with the no question piece was an interesting angle I had not thought of. I've done it before, probably not intentionally or not due to his coaching, but I've done it from time to time. But it's, you know, it's that sort of approach. So we're just giving up, you know, for lack of a better term, or we're just giving up on this then. And it forces the person to go, well, no, we're not giving up on it. Like, okay, then let's get this done, right? You know, and with Dave, I think it was just, for me, and talking to folks afterwards, like every paradigm I hold in my brain about corn and corn production and potatoes or straw, whatever, you name the crop, is probably going to be broken, not by a hollow necessarily, but by somebody in the next 10 to 15, like all of these paradigms are going to be just smashed in the next 15 years, right? Production agriculture is no longer going to be, you know, driving the tractor, looking behind you and things like that. Like things are going to move so fast. The pace of change is going to be so quick. That really hit me hard on that one. And then you know, JJ, just I think that servant leadership piece that he talked about, he didn't use those words, those are my words, but like it just, I think the people I look around to that, you know, like Scott, like Aaron Conaway, and others that exemplify that same sort of leadership style, like it, there's, it's not a secret that they've done well in their companies, done well mm-hmm. in their careers, right? And built great companies. Carl Peterson, right? Like these are folks that really, you know, emulate everything that JJ said.
Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, listening to Chris Voss, I'll start with him. Number one, I realized that that guy is almost devoid of emotion, which I think is a requirement of his career, right? He can keep things such a low key. But for him to talk about switching the game from trying to get yes to no, and my sales director was here with me and he had said, I've never really thought of switching it up and trying to get a no out of people. That really kind of freed my mind up. So he was on the edge of his seat. And I think that changed, just as Colin said, it just gives you a new way of thinking. In terms of the conversation, how to get things out of people. And then Friedberg, boy, I just realized that it's kind of like being on the football field with an NFL football player. I can't believe we're the same species. I mean, the guy's just brilliant. He's able to take very complex ideas and boil them down to where, you know, folks like me can understand it when he's on stage. So he's a very interesting guy, and I think that, like Colin said, we're going to see some very significant changes over the course of the next 10 to 15 years. So following him and his company, Ohalo, is going to be pretty interesting. And then with JJ, I got a chance to talk to him before he got up on stage, and boy, he's the same guy on stage as he is in person.
Yeah.
Just authentic is what the word I took away from his thing. Just be yourself. I mean, everyone can tell when you're being fake or disingenuous. And the folks that report up to you and look to you for leadership, it's really kind of a symbiotic relationship. If you're treating them like equals and you're listening to them, and by the way, innovation comes from listening to the front lines. I mean, that's the best ideas don't come from the corner office. So I just really loved the way he sort of brought that. And I think a lot of people were surprised to hear that comes out of the military. You don't hear a lot of, I mean, my background is with the military, and you don't hear empathy and military often in the same sentences.
True.
So I thought he brought a really cool perspective that a lot of people didn't realize was there.
Yeah.
You know, it did occur to me that I missed the greatest opportunity to do an introduction of all times, because Top Gun Maverick is, you know, just my absolute favorite movie.
Yeah.
And I was sitting here thinking, you know, what the heck? I could have started out with his exploits. Exploits are legendary. I give you Captain J.J. Cummins, call sign Yank. blew it all over the place.
I will go back to the comment of you saying that J.J. was the same person on stage versus off stage. Honestly, Chris Voss was as well. So we sat back in what we call our war room. We had a conversation about Game of Thrones and, of course, Harry Potter. I know.
I missed this.
Yeah, you were running around. I had to go get him from the lobby. We talked about books and shows and all kinds of stuff. So, he was very soft-spoken, you know, very calm, even offstage. So he was the same as well. But JJ had, I mean, he came to our Peterson High Yield Happy Hour and just had a blast.
Oh, he really did.
Yeah, he had a blast.
But when you were talking to Chris, I mean, you can feel the intensity.
Yeah, absolutely.
He stares at you, you're like, oh,
he burns into your soul.
Yeah, absolutely. We're sitting there talking about Harry Potter, of all things, and he's like, I really enjoyed the books. And he's like staring at me, and I'm like, me too.
Yeah. What else do you want to know? I'll tell you.
Yeah, I can tell you the plot of every single one, okay?
And speaking of, so not one of our top three speakers, but another speaker was Chairman Mike Conaway.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And
of course.
Mm-hmm. Talk about another authentic guy, right?
Absolutely.
So I sat beside him at lunch. And then he was at my craps table last night in the casino. And he was having a great time, right?
That's
cool. And sitting at the table beside him at lunch, like, right off the bat, you know, and I get it. Like, he's been doing this a long time, so he looks at your name badge, and then every time he talked to me, it was, hey, Colin, hand on my knee. You know, hey, Colin. And it's like, and, you know, like, heading up there, as soon as he sat down, he's like, telling me, well, that, you know, it was like a Rotary Club lunch, right, with all the stuff in the background. And
he was funny.
He is very funny, very authentic. It was, I enjoyed meeting him a lot, and it was interesting. He was a very compelling guy.
I agree.
He is one of those guys that, and of course, you know, Laura Wood brought him into us. He is one of those guys that really, 16 years in the House, chairman of the Agriculture Committee in the House. A lot of moving parts with that one, but incredibly knowledgeable, and of course has maintained, his friendship knowledge base with the Republicans in Texas, and, you know, clearly understands what all is going on very well. But yeah, cool guy. I did feel a bit bad just because it was like that Rotary lunch, and I was like, this is the only way we can make it happen today.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens. I do want to come back to something about David Freeberg. What he depicted with AI, I mean, we all talk about AI, and I mean, AI is the big discussion, and I mean, the large language models, and, you know, I've got my ChatGPT now on my iPhone, and I've got it on my computer, and I've used the new little voice selection so we can talk.
It's awesome. I've done that in the car driving down the road to, like, brainstorm some things, and it's like you're having a conversation with someone.
Oh, it's great. So yeah. Mine is named Val, you know, and Layton, little 3-year-old granddaughter, came in. I was working on the computer. I said, Layton, come here. I want you to meet somebody. Sat on my lap. I said, Val, yes, this is Layton. She's my 3-year-old granddaughter. Would you introduce yourself to her? And all of a sudden, I was shocked at what happened. You know, ChatGPT is talking to Layton. Layton's talking to ChatGPT. It's just like, oh, my God, this is the new babysitter. This is the new babysitter. Heck with hiring anybody. Just set the computer out there. Hey, Val, listen for Harrison, and if he's crying, talk to him.
Yeah, right.
I'll tell you what's even weirder about that is, I mean, obviously, you know, AI and all of that, but having the voice generation, AI voice generation. So we've done, obviously, podcasts for Stock Talk. We use a platform called Riverside. They have AI voice generation. There was a moment, it was me talking, and I didn't like the way it sounded, so I was like, I'm going to test this out. And I typed what I wanted it to say in my voice.
Oh, wow.
And it generated and sounded identical to me. And I was like, that is kind
That's
of creepy.
Freaky.
Yeah, it's kind
freaky,
of creepy.
Freaky.
Yeah. I find with AI, like, the one thing and this is where guys like Freeberg are so far ahead. Like, I think a lot of us in the audience, and I've put myself in this category, I dabble a little bit. I haven't done the voice thing yet. Like, I'm trying to figure out where the on-ramp is, right? Like, so for our business, like, where is the on-ramp? What is the easiest spot to get on the on-ramp? Like, I've used it for a few times to summarize some pretty big PDF documents of data. I've used it to summarize, you know, like, research documents for the National Alfalfa Association, things like that I got to review. But, just day in, day out part of our business, I haven't got the on-ramp yet, and that's certainly for me a takeaway is like, okay, it's enough screwing around. Like, we got to figure it out.
I will say there's a platform called Otter AI, which is really cool. I mean, you can record meetings, all of that, and it puts it into, I mean, honestly, articles or transcripts and stuff. I think that's something that a lot of companies could be messing with during their meetings, you know, as like a summary afterwards. So it's neat.
I mean, there's certainly an administrative component to it. We use ChatGPT, Carl and I, quite a bit. We have the $20 a month subscription.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, on a day-to-day basis, where it saves me hours of time. And you all been in college and you had to write a research paper and you were like, I just can't get started. Once you get started, the pen flows and you're fine. This thing, I'll go in there and say, and after using it for a few months, it knows that Carl and Julie own the company, Scott runs the company, so-and-so, you know, each position. And I'll say, hey, put together a 90-day implementation plan for my new controller that I hired and starts on Monday. And it will come up with 2 or 3 pages.
Yep.
And yeah, you have to go in and spend 20 minutes making sure you detail it out a little bit and personalize it to that person. But it's done in a snap versus having to think for 2 hours. And so it's a time thing for me. I don't know if that's quite the on-ramp that you're talking about, but it's one
smart.
Of those.
Yeah. And I will say ChatGPT does better when you're nice to it, which is the weirdest thing.
Yes, and this is true.
It is true.
She told me this, and she's talking to ChatGPT and just, hey, girl, how's it going? Da, 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 yeah. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's getting better results. And then she says, okay, now you try. All right, give me this and this and this and this. And it's rude back. And I'm like,
yeah, if you're nice to it, it's better.
I think that's a lesson for real life, too.
It may be. But.
And the early iterations, if you remember when it first came out, like if you went to a dark spot talking to ChatGPT, it went darker back.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're like, I'm thinking of, you know, hurting somebody, it would be like, well, here's how I would do it. You know,
yeah. It definitely reciprocates what it gets. So if you're kind to it, then it's kind back.
The McMaster's Guide to Murder.
Yeah.
There we go.
This went dark.
But to go back to one thing that David Friedberg got with me on AI. He starts describing AI. So this is what we're all doing with it, and this is what we're all looking at it right now. And then he starts describing, I think that we're going to come to a point very quickly where we're going to say, hey, give me a plant that can grow on Mars, and here are the soil attributes. Here's the nutritional profile. Here's this. Here's the heat. Here's the cold. And it will create that for
create
us.
The genome.
Create
insane.
The genome.
Sure.
Which is something I've never considered that it could do. I mean, that would be an unbelievable tool. And, I mean, so I'm sitting here thinking about, oh, let's see. I can use this for search. Hey, Val, meet my granddaughter. Oh, look how cool this is. And he's saying, okay, we're about to create this new plant growing on Mars that's going to feed 1 billion people.
You know, I think it goes back to the different species. Like, he's built different.
Well, it's just built different. And that Mars example's not by accident, right?
Like, of course not.
One of his good buddies is Elon Musk.
Right. You know. Who is just going to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like it's, like, you know, and it's, of course, there's lots of articles and stuff how you get in these groups of people, and if that's who you're hanging out with every day, then it just, you know, Scott and I hanging out and talking about bison football and soybeans, we're not advancing the population very far.
but it's still entertaining.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun. We're having a good time.
Well, shoot, while we've been here, I've solved the problem of NIL, so, you know, in football and how it's ruining it, but nobody wants to execute my solution. I'm going to talk to President Trump. You know, he's a disruptor. He'll figure
there
it out.
There you go. You get it done.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, what about the breakout session? So we had a bunch of those. I'm going to just ask, I know y'all saw several of them. What was your favorite? And I know you didn't see all of them.
Well, I'm going to jump ahead. Let you think a little bit because I want to
talk
a little bit about Carl Han Chen and Jim Schweigert. I thought that one on innovation was really great.
It was really well attended. That's
yes,
for sure.
It really was. And I think that everybody, you know, I talk about innovation a lot, but I think that the independents really need to start embracing some of the things that are coming down the pipe. And one thing that Han said that I thought was really brilliant was we don't have to find solutions that work globally or even nationally. Like, we can work on things that work in your region, and that's going to give us an elevated position compared to some of the multinationals. And so that was something I never really thought of. When I think of innovation, I think stuff that's going to change the industry. We don't really have to change the industry. Mm-hmm. We just have to change our little region that we're in charge of, and that might spread. But to our farmers that we serve, that's really important.
It's real value.
Yes.
It's real value.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get rid of the regulatory and all the long-term stuff that it takes.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. No, I think that I'll just build on that. Like, so the two I was in, I would say you could pull a thread through what Scott just said. You know, I was with Earth Optics and with Interplant. The frustrating part I have, and it's the same thing. Like, when I started Legacy, that was the first thing. Like, hey, we're going to be cutting-edge innovation. And then you talk to your reps in the field. They're like, hey, we just kind of want to sell corn and soybeans. And it's a lot of work in progress. It's still a work in progress at our company to get people to understand that, hey, look, this may not sell you a bunch more corn and soybeans, but it's going to someday you'll be the trusted advisor because you're bringing them these opportunities. And, you know, and I thought, you know, again, I'm biased because I'm, you know, what do they do on CNBC, the disclaimer, right? Like, I am involved with Earth Optics on the board there, I thought Cam did an amazing job of presenting the model and the user interface model that like us as an independent seed company be working through. It sort of hits the marks, right? You got a profit opportunity for the independent seed company. You're going to be able to refine your recommendations. You're going to be able to then go out and do a better job of a discussion with a farmer what the problems on their in their field and recommend a better hybrid, better variety. And I was thinking, you know, we got a young guy that just started with us in the Thumb of Michigan. You know, and he was with Brevant and he's been with retail and like, so he knows. It's like I don't have to teach him what good corn hybrids or good soybean varieties look like, but he's not entirely sure on our lineup, right? Mm-hmm. So now if I could build, you know, hand him that tool and say, okay, like if you can get a few of your farmers to get on this, then the AI portion of the tool will help recommend the right hybrid. You know, it's going to have your catalog in here and you'll quickly, I think it would help him become more comfortable with our lineup more quickly and know when to sort of step off the curb and say, hey, I'm going to recommend this 101 day here, even though I don't really, I'm not entirely sure, I can feel pretty confident that this is the right thing to do. So, you know, I really liked what Earth Optics was showing. I thought Interplant, I'm a big fan of companies that have farmers on their board or as investors, and there's not many. There's very few. Maybe Interplant is the only one that's kind of out there relevant right now. You know, and, you know, I made the comment in the introductory session, like I said, you got a farmer from Marengo, Saskatchewan and Fargo, North Dakota on their inner circle, as they call it. And, you know, there's no Abu Dhabi or Dubai or,
yeah,
you know, Scandinavian Teachers Federation or whatever the heck it might be, right? Like it's just real people giving real advice on how to help them be more successful. And, you know, to see the, you know, with how far Interplant has come in the last little while, it was pretty cool. And, you know, it's easy to get hung up on the fact that it's still a couple years away. And, you know, but to your point, Scott, like we have to be the ones talking about innovation. Like Bayer's not going to talk about it other than their own innovations.
Correct.
Syngenta's only going to talk about their own innovations. Like we can be the ones that talk about, hey, have you heard about the new way to soil test? Have you heard about the new way that you can detect disease in plants? Did you hear about, you know, a different sort of soybean protein makeup, you know, through Z-Cal or whatever? Like all those things, just like, let's go get it.
Yeah.
As independents, right?
That's one of the things that I fell in love with when I first met Carl, and why I decided to join the company was his desire to be on the front edge, the leading edge, and be able to bring things. And you hit on a point, Colin, when you first started talking. You know, it's not just the farmers that are a little bit resistant to change. It's our sales teams that mm-hmm. are resistant to new ideas. They don't want to be given stuff. They don't know what it is. And so I think as leaders of these independent companies, we have to go out, find these innovations, and really be able to explain and discuss why these things are valuable to the farmer, because our sales teams are resistant. Anytime we bring an idea and it's not corn, soy, or wheat, they're like, what are we doing this for?
Yeah.
And there's a lack of engagement. So I think on the front side, as leaders, if we do that, I think we can get that adapted.
Unfortunately, like we kind of, you know, over time, the industry sort of ruined it for a while, right? Because we would go to our reps and go, well, why don't you sell atrazine? And they're like, I don't want to sell atrazine, right? Or why? You know, I don't want to sell mesotrione, or I don't want to sell like dicamba. I want to sell seed. Mm-hmm. And now it's sort of retraining to believe like there's more than just seed, right? That's you talk about Interplant, which is seed, mm-hmm. but it's different, right? You can talk about Ohalo, you can talk about Earth Optics, the soil in different ways, or, you know, it just name your startup, right? Name your innovation and go from there.
Well, one of the things that we've been trying to do, and I mean, I think it came through really clearly this year with IPSA, is to highlight innovation for the very reason that you named. I want independent seed companies to see lots of innovations that represent opportunities so that they can decide what's best for their business, what fits their business to give them a chance to differentiate and excel and continue to grow. And there are a lot of opportunities right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're very fortunate from that aspect.
Well, and I think we're also lucky, you know, and we've got, you know, Inari right across the hall from us right now. They're working hard. But also our incumbents are also still investing.
Yes,
like,
they
you
are.
Know, it's not like Bayer is not doing anything.
No, and we had a chance to see what they were doing right before Christmas. And quite frankly, I was surprised. I had not, you know, seen a good presentation on what Bayer's product line and future product line looks like, and it's robust. They are not sitting around.
No,
they are trying to transform the game again.
100%. So I think it's an exciting time. You know, we talked about this during the meeting, right? It's an exciting time to be an independent. We got options. We got innovation coming. We've got probably some ways to make a little bit more money and improve our margins slightly. Hopefully. But we've, you know, I think also nice to know that the incumbents are working hard too.
And I want to say, you know, there's obviously some tensions between the large multinationals and the independents, right? That's sort of the nature of the beast. But I do think we're in a great position today with Dave Trinan, Matthew Brandt, and Scott Schultz as the new licensing lead for Corteva. The other two have been there a while. But I think they do deeply care about our business. I do think they want us to succeed. The question is what happens across the aisle with their national and global brands. But I do think we do have opportunity, to your point, Colin, with those heads of licensing in the industry today.
Well, and you're exactly right. I think the licensing, the guys you just named in licensing, are strong advocates for the business.
Yes.
And you know, as it should be, they can't control what their national brands do. And let's face it, what's the complaint you hear from independent seed companies? Margin squeeze. Yeah. It's a real thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a bit out of their control.
Correct.
So, you know, there is some push-pull there, no doubt. You mentioned Earth Optics, and I've got to come back to that because, you know, full disclosure, everybody knows I'm one of the founders of Earth Optics and have really been excited to see what they were able to put together there. You know, it's interesting because the push has been so much towards being able to deliver an agronomic product for so long that could make a difference and compete on a level, enable seed companies to compete on a level against multinational type of agronomy practices. And I think they're getting pretty close. And it can be a really valuable tool, without a doubt. Now, we didn't mention Jim Hedges with Friends of the Ag.
And unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to jump into that room, that was one of the ones I had some regret. Not, of course, I was helping lead other sessions, so I didn't get in there. But I would have loved to have heard a little bit more what they got going on.
I did get to stick my head in that one for a little bit. Very well attended, of course. The funny thing is here, Jim Hedges is former head of Corn States and licensing in Monsanto several years ago. So he walks in, it's like old home week, you know, a little bit. And he's been deeply involved everywhere. But they've got a company that's just coming out of stealth mode and Frenzy Ag that, you know, is now looking at some incredible opportunities through what they're doing in enhancing soybean yield in genetic basis. So, you know, we've sat here and we've talked about four companies on innovation, David Friedberg with Ohalo, five different companies that people were able to see. And that to me is exciting that they can come in and have real one-on-one conversations with companies that are, you know, on the cusp of being able to make a change. And then, of course, Winterfest on the front with Greenleaf, 20 years of Winterfest with them, and the very first Inari full seed company summit that they've had. So, lots of opportunities that have been going on this week in Indian Wells, no doubt.
Well, let's come back to the new president.
Oh, the new president. Yeah.
So we've run out of things to talk about. That's what you're saying.
Here's the thing. I know that y'all have things to do, so I don't want to keep you for much longer. But I do want to talk about you.
I'm having fun. I just didn't sit here and
keep talking. I know.
But
drink coffee.
They do have things to do. I want to talk about you. You know, obviously, you became president yesterday. So what's your plan? What's your goal? You know, in your dream world, what could you accomplish in the year that you're president?
You know, agriculture is such a long-term business, right? It's generational. So to think about what we could do in the next 12 months that would have an impact for independent seed companies, I would like to think, I can follow in Colin, his footsteps and bringing us and certainly Todd's efforts, bringing us closer to the multinationals in those relationships and our conversations so that they can hear directly from us who are representing the independent space what we need to be successful as businesses, as seed companies. Because, and I was talking to a gentleman last night, Scott Schultz, who runs the licensing for Corteva. One thing that the multinationals miss compared to the independents is the focus on the farmer. We all talk about it. Everybody says they're focused on the farmer, but the multinationals clearly have a harder time doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They're much more short-term thinking in terms of quarterly reports and earnings and things like that. But if we can figure out a way to have the multinationals support what we do with the farmer, we can both win. This isn't a mutually exclusive game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Their market share can go up through licensing, and they can do it at a much more profitable rate. So if at the end of 12 months, I can say that the independent space has moved closer to that goal of being directly focused on the farmer with the multinational, the farmer wins. And when the farmer wins, you guys know in this industry, everything goes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Farmer wins, the independents win, the multinationals win. So that would be my short answer.
Great answer.
I think it's a big answer.
Yeah.
So that's what you mean by bring it on. Cover Seed World, bring it on. The famous Sanders scowl is evident. I heard that was supposed to be a smile.
That is my smile. I don't know why people think that. You know, that's as good as it gets for me.
You know, I have to say, I had a lot of things I loved at the conference, but the thing I hated the most, was meeting your son, Harrison.
What?
Oh, I hated meeting Harrison. I mean, look, I'm Santa Claus. Everybody mm-hmm. likes me.
Oh.
I'm very happy. I could not get that kid to smile. He just had that same scowl on his face.
He smiled at me.
I mean, Todd, I think we're sensing something. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know,
well, okay, so look.
It's like when dog you meet for the first time doesn't like you. And it's like,
okay. Yeah. Everybody smiles at you. You're kind of an anomaly. But when you told me that Scott Shishler, he gets a grin out of him. I mean, Scott Shishler from Bear can get a grin, and I can't. I mean, this is not a good.
You just need a couple league. More runs at it. Believe
I'm
me.
Gonna try.
He gives me the Sanders scowl too, so it injures you. Scowl. No, but you know, to the I'm getting a lot of comments on the bring it on thing, and that quite frankly wasn't my line. That's something that Seed World.
Man,
did,
you
I
just have to
great.
Embrace it. You just have to embrace well, it and claim it now.
It doesn't bother me. Anybody knows me, I'm incredibly competitive. You know, I don't care if we're playing a fake poker game or if we're in the world of independent, you know, seed selling, right? I didn't come from the agricultural world, so I don't have this, call it reverence or awe of these multinationals. They're just a bunch of people like us who just chose to work for a larger company. So,
right.
Yeah, bring it on. I mean, you want to talk about who's better for the farmer and who's bringing more value? There's so many people sitting in the room that work for an independent company, family owned. There should not be any fear in what we're bringing to the farmer, and I don't think we should be shy about it.
One thing that we failed at this year, and I mean we did, we didn't have walk-up music for anybody.
Mm.
It was really bad.
Yeah,
it was really bad. You know that's a big
something
miss.
We typically do.
It is. We missed it, but I can promise you. For everybody that's heard Scott say several times, I didn't come from the ag industry. I came from it. Scott, you know, has a big background in the defense industry.
Yeah.
And every time Scott says something like that and Bring It On is there, all I can see is Jonah Hill out of War Dogs going through the triangle of death with, you know,
Fortunate Son,
Fortunate Son from Creedence in the background and like him and Miles Teller. Just I can promise you. That will be your walk-up music every time you step on stage next year. Help remind me, and we will have that video playing.
I can promise you I wish my time in the defense industry was that cool and that fun. But, I do say that quite a bit. Like, I didn't come from this industry, but that's more of a, well, first it's a defense. Like, don't expect any super intelligent answers out of me. And then it's a...
I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more, and it's also a respect thing for a lot of folks like, you know, Colin and Todd. And a lot of the independents who've spent their entire lives in ag, and that's just more of a respect factor for you guys that have been doing it a lot longer.
Yeah,
I'm just going to sit there and keep playing that video in my head.
Yeah.
Great. Triangle of death.
Great.
I'm sure you could find a speaker and just walk behind Scott and play it if you want.
Well, you know what? It's that deal Aaron Conaway had out at his tour.
Oh, yes.
Oh, when he had the person with the mic box. Kind of falling around. I'm like, that was
awesome. That was brilliant.
Cool.
That was
cool. That was just cool.
Standing by holding up.
Narrating your life.
Well, if I could have found a turtle box, we could have just been playing. We could have just been walking around behind him. We could have probably hired somebody to just walk around behind him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate y'all sitting with us. I know that Inari's meeting is going on, so I really do appreciate this. I would do want to kind of touch on the fact that we did these little stock talks. Ours was much longer than the ones that we did with our sponsors. So we're going to have a little conversations at the conference mini episode series on our podcast for our sponsors. So this has been great to have our podcast live. I think it's been really cool.
Oh,
we've had
gosh.
A ton of great conversations.
Got to tell you, the conversations we've had were so enlightening, not only from a business perspective, but we've gotten to know so many of our sponsors on a very personal note. And it's just been, it's been fun and fantastic.
Nice.
So really and truly, we do these via, you know, remote connection most of the time. I'm just in favor of taking this on the road. We'll just take this table right with us and drop it in the back of Big Blue, and we'll just drive around and say, okay, we're here. We're doing a podcast.
Well, and thank you guys, Todd and Kat, for what you're doing for the independent space. You're making it fun. You're making it fresh. And I think that's really awesome to see. It's fun to be a part of it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Guys, we appreciate you very much. This is the 36th IPSA Annual Conference, kind of the last words.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
See you in Indy.
See ya.